If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Taking a look inside our African continent now, and specifically focused on how African countries just might not be performing at their best when it comes to issuing bonds. So debt costs more than it should, and what it is that we need to change. Dr. Meshack Mutize joins us now as a legal expert on credit ratings agencies at the AU's African Peer Review Mechanism, APRM. Such a pleasure to have you with us, Dr. Mutize. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. I hope you can hear me.
Loud and clear, Dr. Mutize. Really excited to speak to you. You actually have a phenomenal role and participate in a key organization and institution across the continent. Perhaps before we deep dive into the conversation at hand, I think it is important that we understand the role and function of the AU's African Peer Review Mechanism. For those who aren't familiar with your organization, remind us what it is you do and why it's important.
Thank you very much for inviting me. Broadly, the African Peer Review Mechanism is a governance entity of the African Union. So some wants to call it an organ, but it's an autonomous entity. It's not exactly an organ. So it's one of the most distinct entities of the African Union because we operate with some form of autonomy and independence, because the work of supporting governance, it needs some latitude to get into spaces that might not be very comfortable to examine governments. So broadly, we support various spheres from democracy and political governance to economic governance, socio-economic development, and the like. So we make assessments of these areas and make recommendations to governments, which we do so at the highest level of heads of state and government. So where I myself, I'm an expert in the area of economic governance broadly, but specifically on credit ratings. So this being a very important component of economic governance, because that's one of the key enablers for governments to finance development through sustainable means. Yeah,
definitely. And I guess to simplify it for many of us who might not be exposed to these complexities on a day-to-day basis, it's essentially saying I, as Gugu, would like to raise capital. There is certain patterns and behaviors that I exhibit that would then influence my credit rating or credit score in my individual capacity. But if I asked you, would you please loan me this particular amount, you would then evaluate that behavior. And part of your work is basically to make sure that the various observations of my behavior and the outcomes and credit score and credit findings that are brought about are equitable and done so in a just manner. And maybe take us deeper into that. I'm hoping I've described this and simplified it in the best way possible without losing the essence of the meaning. But I do want it to hit home for all of us as South Africans, just to understand the complexity, but also the nuances of credit ratings, especially when they're related to debt funding.
I think that's very phenomenal. You have summed it up in a much better way than I could have.
I think I'll be your intern. Thank you, Prof.
Hello. You would have edited what I would have written in complex terminology. But relating it at a government level, what you have just described, our work is to examine institutions that are called credit rating agencies. So those who follow or operate in the capital market sphere, they know there are big three rating agencies that are based, two of them in London and one headquartered in the US. So the significance of these institutions is that for anyone or for any entity, the big entities and our sovereigns, which are governments, wants to raise money, which has been one of the options remaining to raise money from the capital market, to go and issue a bond in the international capital market, and then you receive some funding to finance your development. For that to happen, those bonds need to be rated. And those rating has to come from those three international rating agencies. not just for international investors, including our own African-based entities that are in pension funds,
yes,
management, and asset managers. They actually want to see a rating from these big three before they can invest their money through buying these bonds. That's why these institutions have become very critical at a global level. So coming to Africa, why this has been quite an issue, it's because these institutions, number one, they've got a, generally speaking, a westernized inclination.
Mm-hmm.
By that, I mean, their analysts who do these assessments in Africa are also based in Europe and in the US.
Yes.
And they do these assessments by just visiting Africa for a week or two. And to them, they would have concluded their view to make a pronouncement. And number two, that there's been a lot of pessimism. By pessimism, I mean the simplest word is a negative view or a negative perception,
mm-hmm,
against African state. You know, this umbrella perception that Africa is not in a very strong position and they are not managing their borrowings very well. So ultimately, they are going to default. So that has really raised the cost of borrowing or the cost of financing for the whole of Africa, to the extent that if you see a government borrowing at 10%,
mm-hmm,
to 15% to 20%, it becomes a very, very unsustainable level.
Yes.
Because government, remember, most of its financing is into capital goods,
yes,
and non-profit making projects.
Got you.
So now you see the discussion at a global level in the United Nations for development is that Africa is paying the highest cost from its budget towards servicing loans. In other words, not only capital, but interest.
Yes. I want to jump in there, Dr. Mutize, because we can relate to that in South Africa. If I'm not mistaken, our debt to GDP ratio sits well above 75%. So for every R1 we earn, we need to pay 75 cents of it back to pay off our debt. And a large contingent of that is the interest rates. I'm keen to come back to the credit ratings, bond issuances, and why it is that African economies are failing at the right valuations here. Because so often when we read the news headlines, we hear Zambia has defaulted on a bond. Economies in the likes of Uganda, Kenya, even in the west of the continent. And there's always this active participation to raise capital on the international market through debt. But then turns out to, for lack of a better word, become more of a burden for African economies. And whilst I understand there's always these complexities and nuances around the first cardinal sin, which was adopting or taking on international debt in foreign currency, but help us understand, you know, how it is that we can avoid this typical cycle of African states perhaps defaulting on bonds because of the mispricing and how that does need to be corrected from the beginning. I've said a lot, but that's essentially the gist of, I guess, the journey of how I'd like us to explore the nuances of the complexities around this theme.
No, it's quite a complex discussion, but to try and relate to what listeners can understand is that Africa is part of a global financing ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most of our governments, post-liberation in the early 90s or late 80s, they were receiving a lot of donor funding and a lot of concessionary funding. By concessionary, it's cheap funding from the IMF and the World Bank. And most of these funds were coming through a direct assistance. But in the turn of this century, there was a decline in donor funding, and also the IMF changed its model of financing Africa.
Mm-hmm.
So that then left most of African governments without an option on how to finance their development because that funding channel had declined. And also, you know, the issue of increasing population, the demand on infrastructure and all that,
yes,
kept on. So the window that opened was this of issuing bonds to raise capital on the financial markets, mm-hmm. which is quite fluid capital, which follows interest rate or return on investment. So our intervention, or where I've been thrusting of late, is on the specifics of how our governments have been borrowing. To some extent, the borrowing has been somewhat irresponsible, because the bonds that are issued, in simple terms for you to understand, is
yes,
all the bonds that we have issued for all the countries, we have 21 countries in Africa that has issued this kind of bonds. All those bonds are oversubscribed. In other words, they are oversold.
Which is good news, right? Always, that's typically how it's sold to us as the market, that when it's oversubscribed, it's good news. It means investors want to get in. They want to put their money in.
Yes, but I have called it a false signal of success.
Yes.
It should be the opposite interpretation, actually. Mm-hmm. That if our bonds are oversold, it means that we are shortchanging ourselves on paying interest that we should not be paying.
Uh-huh.
Because it means we are not structuring these bonds in a favorable position for African governments that are borrowing.
Exactly.
Because if you are selling something that is oversold, it means that there is a mispricing somewhere. I always give this a very simple scenario, that if you get to a market and you have a truckload of cabbage, and you find a crowd waiting to buy it from you, and in a split of a second your truck is empty, then it means there's something wrong with your pricing.
It's cheap. That's what it means.
Yes, it's cheap to them, but it's cheap to them at the cost to the producer.
Yes.
So coming to this context that we are discussing, the reason why investors are rushing to African instruments or African bonds is because these bonds have what they call a high yield. And who is accruing that yield? It's an investor. And the investor follows where the high yield is. When we have a bond, like recently we had a Nigerian bond that was oversubscribed by 9 times. They ended up collecting more money, I think over $1 billion more than they needed, because they saw that there was investor appetite. So my simple point that I've been advancing at the highest level in the African Union is that, why are we celebrating the bonds that are coming at a very high cost? Like in this case, that bond was for a 9%. So we should rather be using this leverage of oversubscription to bargain for favorable terms. The number one term we need to leverage on is to reduce the interest and also extend the term of the bonds.
Longer time, because, to pay off, and lower interest, yes, rate cuts. Got you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because you find that immediately after this bond has been sold, there is what we call a coupon payment. And that coupon payment is normally paid after every 6 months. So if you look at the trend now, all the bonds that are being issued in these present moments, from perhaps 3 years back, these bonds are being issued to pay maturing loans. So we are borrowing to pay what we owe.
Yes, got you.
Which has become a very a problematic cycle.
Dr. Mutiza, I'm glad that you allude to this, because we do see it being incredibly prominent across various states in the African continent. And as you say, it's not working to our benefit. We do need to be mindful of how it is that we, review the issuing of our bonds related to our credit ratings, and also the coupon payments, the interest payments, in other words, that would have to be made. I'd like to close off by taking a look at how best we reconfigure issuing bonds on the African continent in light of what's happening across the rest of the world. The geopolitics, Russia-Ukraine continues, Iran and Israel continuing, and it does seem as though the US is still uncertain as to whether or not they'll likely interfere. That influencing oil prices. There's a lot going on, essentially. I'm keen to understand, on the backdrop of the macroeconomic climate as things stand at the moment, how should African leaders and institutions reconsider issuing bonds?
Well, the first point that is very close to home that can change immediately is improving capacities. To have capacity within the ministries that are responsible for issuing those bonds.
By to capacity, skilled, you mean skills as well? Got you.
Yes, you have people. You need people who are skilled in bond pricing, market intelligence, and modeling to be able to determine the most accurate pricing for these bonds. And also to determine the timing, because it's not always when is the best time to issue those kind of bonds. And all this whole process needs to be completely detached from any political sentiment.
Yes.
Because you find that mostly the reason why maybe there's an issue about Ghana and Zambia is because the administrations that accrued those loans are no longer in power, and the present administration might be a little uncomfortable inheriting such a burden when they did not utilize the funding that was raised. So we need to institutionalize and capacitate the function of issuing bond, because it's a very complex area. And also, there's what we call the syndicates, bond issuing syndicates, mm-hmm. which involves a network of investment banks, which are also operating outside the continent. They've been making a big killing from issuing these bonds because they are the ones who engage the investors, they structure the bonds, they do the prospectus and the like. So they also underwrite and get their commissions and fees.
Oh.
When a bond is oversold, they get bonuses. And they don't really care much about what happens after. They'll be waiting for another issuing cycle. So this has worked in the best interest of those institutions, but at a high cost for African governments. So that's one sphere of what we can address. But in the longer term, it is very, very clear that issuing bonds in foreign currency is unsustainable.
Oh, yeah.
Because our foreign currency reserves are always strained. Mm. And the need of having foreign currency is always increasing because of these exposures.
100%.
So, yes, one of the focus areas in the medium to long term should be to develop our own capital markets, so that if we want to raise capital from the financial market, it has to be in domestic currency. And most of our governments are not investing in developing liquidity in our own capital markets because of the high appetite to tap into the international financial markets.
Mm.
So we have been advocating for developing our own domestic financial markets so that we can tap into these markets using the domestic currencies. And it will eliminate the bigger portion of the risk exposure which comes with foreign currency.
You're raising such a valid point, Dr. Mutize, because a market like South Africa, perhaps because we have developed capital markets, well-established mm-hmm. regulations, we can do that successfully, but we really need to ensure that we can partner with our peers across the continent to bring them on for the journey. Naturally, yes, low volumes in terms of perhaps trading activity we might see, liquidity also comes up as an issue, but that's why if we mobilize group savings, like pension funds, and encouraging the adequate movement of money electronically and digitally for it to be tracked, then we can actually mobilize so much more of that capital. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm so intrigued by so much more that you can share with us this evening, but we'll have to keep it there. Thank you so much for your time, Dr. Mutize.
Thank you very much for having me. Very important conversation.
Yes, definitely very important. My Tabasa, Dr. Mutizwe, joining us tonight as the lead expert on credit rating agencies at AU, Africa Peer Review Mechanism. Essentially, think of it this way. Just the same way that you, and I'm really oversimplifying it here, but there's so many nuances, so many technicalities that actually speak to how it is as countries we raise money for ourselves. Money to build the roads, the bridges, the schools, the highways, the hospitals. All of that sometimes can be procured by making sure that we go out to the world and we say, hey, invest in us, lend us some money, we'll pay you back, and we'll channel this into our local economy. And there's complexities to it, especially when it comes to bond issuances, as Dr. Mutize has highlighted. There are key concerns we need to be mindful of, and maybe next time you read a story about an African state unable to fulfill its bond coupon payments, coupon repayments on time.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.